Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, with the failing health, or at least at best the uncertain health of Hillary Clinton, and what I would put out there is the desperate hatred of Donald Trump by the Islamists, the globalists, and the establishment, there are any number of things that could prevent a candidate from perhaps serving out their full term of office. And I'm not going to get into that, but I'm saying there are a lot of things of consideration here. And so this is the point I'd like to make. The value and the importance of the vice presidential candidates, their abilities, their predictabilities, their integrity becomes perhaps far more important in this election than in the past. So today we're going to, if you could, say, measure the men of Mike Pence and Tim Kaine. To help us measure the man Mike Pence, I'm going to invite in to join us in the second segment a pastor who has known Mike Pence for years, and who recently, actually last night, attended a gathering in mid-state Pennsylvania where Mike Pence addressed a crowd of people, and he was there in the front row and had an opportunity to talk directly to him. We're going to get a glimpse of the man behind the scenes, Mike Pence, from a pastor here in the second segment, and you're going to want to hear that. His name is Isaac Crockett is the pastor's name. Now, in the second half of this program today, we're going to be joined by our regular guest, David New, who will be sharing in his normal, captivating, truly, and researched fashion, in this case, his predictions for what he believes will happen if Hillary Clinton assumes the presidency of the United States. Now, that being said, let's go right into first measuring the man. And first of all, Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl today, both of us have been gone the last couple of days. We are here today. David Kistler is gone. Doing to other things. So, Gary, let's get right in this issue of measuring the men, Pence and Kaine. Tim Kaine, we do know some things about it. We've shared some things in the program before, and there are a lot of things. His positions on a whole range of issues, his positions in the support of the Democratic platform, Gary, is significant because the Democrat platform is all about socialism. And every point, it's all about the killing of the babies. It's all about heavy taxation. It's all about more giving away of taxpayer dollars in the form of fully paid college education, a whole realm of things. But Gary, the thing that really bothers me, and to me speaks perhaps even more greatly to the aspect of integrity about Tim Kaine, is that in 2007, Kaine was the governor of Virginia. He's now the senator there. But when he was there, he chose Muslim American Society President Issam Omais to the state's Immigration Commission. And this is a Muslim organization that is very profound and clear. Federal prosecutors said in a 2008 court ruling or court filing that this organization, Muslim American Society, headed by this president, was founded, quote, as the overt arm of the Muslim Brotherhood in America, end quote. It goes all the way back to 2004. Other things were stated where Abdurrahman Alamudi testified in 2012 that everyone knows that this organization is the Muslim Brotherhood. Their association with radical mosques were clear. This individual's connection to a range of things. I'm just going to go on just for a second here, Gary. In addition to that, Tim Kaine in 2011, September, spoke at a candidates' night organized by the New Dominion PAC, that presented a Lifetime Achievement Award for Jamal Barzanji, who is the Global Muslim Brotherhood Watch that they describe as the founding father of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood. This individual, Tim Kaine, is on the record in his filings of having received significant contributions from direct Muslim entities to his campaign and through the Democratic Party of Virginia. Gary, I share that with you just for some commentary right here, is that aspect alone raises serious questions as far as integrity of Tim Kaine. Measure the man, Gary, based on that, plus whatever else you may know, just a little bit to frame objectively Tim Kaine.
Well, first of all, I guess I would say, why should this surprise us when you take a look at Hillary Clinton and the connections that she has, particularly with Huma Abedini, you know, her whatever position she's been in for many, many years, chief of staff or right there as Hillary's assistant, and the connection that she's had with the Muslim Brotherhood. It doesn't even surprise me that Tim Kaine has those connections as well. And, of course, we know that the liberal, the very liberal tendencies of the Democratic Party, particularly in this case Hillary and Obama, would be to do whatever they possibly can to bring a greater unity with the Muslim Brotherhood. And so Sam, it doesn't surprise me. However, it concerns me greatly because even as we've talked about on this program over and over again, the Muslim Brotherhood has really infiltrated Washington, D.C. in high places. And when we realize how serious Islam is and radical Islam is, there is no room for it, no place for it in the White House, in my opinion.
No, Gary,
even in addition to that, let me just throw one other thing out here as it relates to Mr. Kaine. And that's the idea that when he was a missionary, a Catholic missionary down in Central America, there is some indication that he was even involved with liberation theology. And so you bring together the involvement that he has had with liberation theology, plus the connections that he has had with Islam. This should cause great concern for any American, not just because of the liberal policies of the Democratic Party, but because of the connections that he's had down through the many, many years of his involvement, whether it's through his church or through government. We need to be very concerned about this man.
Gary, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because he is, as he states, he is a Jesuit. Now, the current Pope Francis is a Jesuit. This is not my opinion. It's out there. Everybody knows this, that liberation theology was a Marxist strategy to pull together the cloak of religiosity, the Catholic Church, along with the principles, the political strategy of Marxism. That is what liberation theology is. So when the Pope stands up and talks about redistribution of wealth, when he talks about globalism and erasing the borders of the stations and inviting in Islamist terrorists into Europe and to America, so is a Tim Kaine of that same perspective, Gary. It is, in fact, a very concern. And that part of it is something that if nothing else was known, in my opinion, this connection and his identification with a philosophy that is anti-American should be, say that he is unqualified under every aspect to be a potential vice presidential candidate. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl today. We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to invite in Pastor Isaac Crockett. He's going to give us some information that you probably never heard. It's going to be on the inside perspective of who is this man, Mike Pence. He's going to give us a inside view of this man as he has known him and as he saw him last night here in Pennsylvania at a meeting in rural Pennsylvania. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Ronald Reagan once said, "Politics is not a bad profession. If you succeed, there are many rewards. If you disgrace yourself, you can always write a book."
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On October 6, 1862, just 3 weeks after the single bloodiest day in the Civil War, where the North and the South lost 10,000 men each, President Lincoln met with Eliza Gurney and three other Quakers. He said, "We are indeed going through a fiery trial. Being a humble instrument in the hands of our Heavenly Father, I have sought His aid. But if my efforts fail, I must believe that for some purpose unknown to me, He wills it. We cannot but believe that He who made the world still governs it."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did, and we were all so proud.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop the national takeover of education called Common Core. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we said in the opening segment, the vice presidential candidates in this year's presidential election, for a lot of reasons, really require a great deal more inspection and evaluation, simply because the fact that they may have a need to rise to the level of presidency, perhaps, you know, again, for a lot of reasons, certainly on the on the Hillary Clinton side, with her health and all that's going on, that's a very logical thing. So we ought to be looking at these candidates. And not very often do we have an ability to have a really inside personal evaluation of the candidates. Most of what we deal with, we hear on the filtered media, or should I say the manipulated media in most cases. But today, we have an advantage of having a pastor. His name is Isaac Crockett. He pastors a church, Hamburg Bible Church in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. It's out in the rural areas of Pennsylvania. And he has an insight into who this man Mike Pence is, and I'd like to be able to talk with him about that now. But first of all, let me welcome to the program Pastor Isaac Crockett. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Sam, for inviting me, and Gary, thank you so much for letting me be on this program today.
Well, we're glad that you're with us and you took time out of your schedule to be here. Isaac, you have had the advantage of knowing the Pence family, and you can go as far as you want. I know your father was a very good friend of his. Your father was a pastor as well. But could you share with us some insights of the man Mike Pence that you would feel comfortable in sharing to give our listeners across the country a sense of the humanity, the real character and integrity of this man who is now the vice presidential candidate in Republican side and who could possibly be in a position to ascend the presidency of the United States?
Yes, yes. My dad was a good friend of his. Their friendship went back to the year 2000. I was a high school senior at the time. And I don't remember if it was while he was running for Congress or shortly thereafter that he and my dad became close friends, and he invited my dad to become a spiritual advisor to him. I know we hear a lot that he's religious or that he's a Christian, but that really is something you have to understand to know Mike Pence, is that he is a man of faith and he is a prayer warrior. He prays. He outprays many of us pastors, and every time my dad would go to his office in D.C., many of the congressmen and congresswomen, they wouldn't really see my dad a lot. My dad would have to talk to their staff, but Mike Pence always made it a point to meet up with my dad. If he wasn't there, he would have the staff communicate about where they could be, where they could go to meet him, and he would always greet my dad with a firm handshake and a warm embrace, and he would, just say, Pastor Crockett, so good to see you. And he'd say, come back here, we need to pray. He always said that to my dad, come back here, we need to pray. And they started every meeting on their knees as they would pour their hearts out to the Lord, asking the Lord for mercy on our country and wisdom in their ministries. My dad as a pastor and Brother Pence as a minister by being in Congress at the time. And he is a prayer warrior. He is also very much a historian and a theologian. He knows American history. It reminds me a lot of our own Sam Rohr, of you and of Michelle Bachmann and some other very godly people that know our American history. And he also knows the Bible, and he knows both of those so well that that's why I call him a historian and a theologian. And I feel that those are traits that make a good pastor, but they also make a good statesman. And I think that's why my dad and he had such a strong bond, because they shared that. We maybe don't hear a lot about his family. I don't know how much is out there for me. Some of this just seeing Mike Pence and things, I just kind of take it for granted. But his children really seem to be very sharp and honor their parents. His son, Michael, of course, is in the Marines. And his daughter, Charlotte, has talked before about growing up in a home where her dad was a congressman. And she said, it didn't feel different or weird or anything because he made it so normal. Her mom and dad just treated it like they were still a normal family. They lived near D.C. when Congress was in session, and Charlotte said that he would be, and this is her quote, she said he would be home almost every night for supper. So he always invested in his family, and you can see that he's reaping the benefits of it now in all three of his children, Michael, Charlotte, and Audrey. And he was a good friend. He was actually the first person when my dad had a major brain surgery, the start of what would be his terminal illness. My dad didn't feel like talking to anybody during recovery for the next few days. And actually, Mike Pence was the first person other than family to get to talk to my dad. And even though there was so much pain and confusion after the surgery, my dad just lit up. And they had such a wonderful and such a encouraging conversation, and such a godly conversation, because he was just a great friend. And shortly before my dad died, Governor Pence awarded my dad the Sagamore of the Wabash Award, which is like a highest award a citizen can be given by the governor. And he also sent representatives in a statement to the funeral at my dad's funeral, and did a video feed at a 30th anniversary honoring my dad and different things like that, as well as he had many of my dad's staff actually working for him from our Christian school and from our church actually went to work for Governor Pence when he was a congressman and as governor. He has a lot of Christian staff around him. So I guess those are a few of the things that come to mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Help. Hmm.
Well, Isaac, it's been great to hear that. And, I've had the privilege of being in meetings with Governor Pence, got to know him through a ministry I was involved with in D.C. when he was down there as a congressman. and he's the real thing, as you are saying. And you've just added a whole lot more to who he is than I would ever be able to share. But in my experience with Mike Pence is that he truly is the real thing when it comes to knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, and serving the Lord. And, you know, in my opinion, is very much a right decision for the VP position. And, of course, he has shown his integrity and stability in so many ways, and we may be talking about that a little bit later. But getting back to you being with him just last night, I guess it was, here in Pennsylvania, how do you feel that the audience responded to him in both the voice reaction as well as in bodily language? Do you feel that he was responded to in a good way, Isaac?
Yes. Oh, yes. He was so well received. I really feel like we should be calling after his great job that he did on the debate, and then the way he's been so well accepted the last couple of days he's been staying here in Pennsylvania. I think we should call it Pennsylvania for our state for a while. But
I like that.
People
That's
were
good.
So excited. They fit in about 1,500 people, maybe even more, into a pretty small area. It was standing room only. And the whole time, we had to wait. Of course, you know, things go longer than you expected, so there was it was a long wait till he got there. Some people had been there 3-4 hours standing before he got there, and everybody was friendly. Everybody felt like we knew each other, and just strong camaraderie and hope for the nation and excitement over him. And he just continued to enthuse the crowd when he got there. It was exciting.
Isaac, back to you on this. Just one other thing, because I want to get another question in here, because I want you to measure these two men. I'd like, from your perspective, to hear how you compare what you observe to be the integrity of the character of Tim Kaine with what you know to be the character of a Mike Pence. So I want to make sure you have at least a minute and a half for that. But you were saying something to me earlier about Mike last night. You said he actually was so passionate in his addressing from the podium. You said it was almost like he was a preacher talking to his fold, his flock.
Oh, yeah. He was an exciting and energetic speaker, but he presented a very articulate speech on the issues that we're facing in Pennsylvania. And really the climax came when he spoke, and throughout it, he started it with talking about his Christian faith and his experience in accepting the Lord and things that, you know, he's a Christian first. But then the climax of his speech came when he spoke on uniting the United States of America. And he said, Donald Trump and I believe that there will always be more that unites us in these United States of America than will ever divide us. And he went on to speak of our national hope, and he said that our national hope is in God bringing about this change. And his speech really climaxed. He said that his team, when elected, will work with Congress to unite America as, quote, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And most of the crowd was quoting that along with him.
And with that, Isaac, I would love to talk with you further, but I want you to hear a comparison in the last minute here.
Yes.
How would you compare the integrity of the individuals, Tim Kaine and Mike Pence? Can you bring us an analysis there briefly?
As a millennial, we have been preached to all the time of tolerance and respect. Those are our main issues that we look at. And when I saw the debate that he was so rude to Mike Pence, and honestly, I felt very disrespectful to the moderator, indeed, to Elaine Cano, that it came across disturbing. He looked a little unglued and crazed, reminded me of like a Jack Nicholson character out of a movie.
He was like a bully.
yeah, a bully, yes. And that, to me, I lost a lot of respect. But especially the most interesting part was when he used his chance to talk about faith to bring up his lack of support for capital punishment, Pence talked about sanctity of life. And then he turned around and he said, you know, as a Catholic, I can't support capital punishment, but I support abortion, including the partial birth abortion that at least his running mate supports. As millennials, we are very attuned to sincerity, and that did not go over well for me. I think most of us millennials don't like partial birth abortion because that means no rights for, you know, women who are still in the womb. As a millennial, I found it very illogical and disrespectful.
Isaac Crockett, Pastor Isaac Crockett, thank you for that wonderful personal inside commentary on who the man Mike Pence is and doing the comparison of Tim Kaine and Mike Pence. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for all that you're doing with your church there in Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on after this break. We're going to come back and welcome in David New, our attorney from Washington. And believe it or not, he's going to give you his prediction on what will happen if Hillary Clinton assumes the presidency. You're going to want to hear this.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. It's a big, strong storm. Hurricane Matthew now past the Bahamas on its way to the Atlantic coast of Florida. Dr. Rick Nabbs, director of the National Hurricane Center.
The outer bands continue to become a little more frequent as they come ashore here in southeast Florida, but the winds of tropical storm force are a little bit farther offshore. Those will be arriving this afternoon, so the time window is really closing fast.
It's a Category 4 right now. Florida Governor Rick Scott says if you're told to get inland, do it.
If you're in an area that's low-lying, that you're a barrier island, you're in an evacuation zone, there's no reason to wait. If you wait, that's when the lines happen. That's when we have problems with fuel. And this is life and death.
There are evacuation orders in place for coastal Georgia and the Carolinas as well. This is a Fox News alert.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The Pennsylvania Family Institute's Friends of the Family Banquet is coming up soon, October 21st to be precise, and this year our theme is Standing in the Storm. Our keynote speaker, Gary Bauer, is one of the absolute best and most inspiring speakers that I've ever heard. Also coming is Baronel Stutzman, the Washington State florist, who is facing prosecution and financial ruin because she has chosen to follow her faith in the way she runs her florist business. If you appreciate the pro-family, pro-religious liberty, and pro-life work of the Pennsylvania Family Institute, how about coming and supporting us at our Friends of the Family Banquet October 21st? You can find out more at our website at pafamily.org or call 1-800-FAMILY-1 for tickets.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you appreciated that, really, that inside personal view of Republican Vice Presidential candidate Mike Pence. That what Pastor Isaac Crockett shared in that last segment, you're not going to hear anywhere on the controlled media. I guarantee you, they're not going to put anything out there like that at all.
Sam, and that was something that our people need to hear. And I don't want to interrupt here, but that's something that our listeners need to hear. And just as I texted to you, I think that this is a reason why people should consider voting for Donald Trump. I mean, you know, I've heard a lot of pastors and Christians say, I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to vote. Well, look, the second man in line would be a good man who would be in the White House should that ever happen. And, you know, God forbid. But the fact of the matter is, Mike Pence is a good man that every Christian should stand behind in prayer and in voting.
Gary, I think that's great. And I tell you, I am very, very glad that he's there. And the more I get to know, and when I met Isaac and I found out some of those relationships with the family, I said, you know what? This is the kind of thing that people need to hear all across this country. They need to hear. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can go back and pick up this archive, listen to it again, standinthegapradio.com. You can pick up the archives and listen to this entire section again. But with that, we've got to move now into our next segment, and we're going to welcome our regular returning guest, our feature guest of the week here, David New, attorney from Washington, D.C. area. David, welcome to the program again.
Well, so nice to be with you.
Well, you know what? You always provide information. Gary and Dave and I, we talk about it on the program and off. You have a way of providing research and information on really very, very important aspects of history or governmental action that we really ought to know about. And you, as an attorney, you measure your words carefully. You are a believer, so you're coming from a biblical worldview perspective, and we can trust what you say. You've been doing some work and thinking ahead to the logical, predictable aspects of what, in fact, would happen or could happen, I'll let you phrase that, if a Hillary Clinton is, in fact, elected or assumes the presidency of the United States. So I'm going to turn it over to you right now, and I am very anxiously awaiting your prediction.
Well, just before I get into that, I do want to make a brief comment about Mike Pence. He is a wonderful, wonderful man. I very, very briefly met him. I'm sure he couldn't remember me. But back in the days of Elkhart, Indiana, when they were trying to remove the Ten Commandments in front of the courthouse, I was in Indiana. I was asked to go there to try to stop it if there was any last-minute legal maneuvers I could do, and I did file a motion with the court, and I did meet with several elected officials in Indiana. But Mike Pence, we briefly met him in one of our meetings, and he was very supportive of the display of the Ten Commandments on public property. Mm-hmm. He did not want that to be removed, and he was with us. And this is, I suppose, about 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this gentleman has a long, long record of supporting traditional Judeo-Christian values. So ladies and gentlemen, if you are interested in having somebody whose faith is real, being one heartbeat from the White House, I would ask you to take a look at the candidacy of Donald Trump and Mike Pence. Now, with respect to what I think is a serious possibility, if Hillary Clinton becomes elected president, right now she's the odds-on favorite, but it's far from over. The race is very competitive. The numbers are moving wildly around, so we don't know what's going to happen. I think Donald Trump has a very, very good chance. But if, for whatever reason, she becomes the next president, I want to make a prediction right now as to what will likely happen. And this prediction is contingent upon the Republican Party maintaining control of the House of Representatives. If those two events occur, I believe that there will be a serious constitutional crisis. And I believe that the constitutional crisis will rise to the level of Watergate. It will be a major, major political event in the history of the country. I believe that Hillary Clinton will be impeached. I believe that there will be two articles of impeachment at a minimum. One article of impeachment will involve her testimony involving the emails. The other article of impeachment will involve her relationship with the Clinton Foundation. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope these things don't happen. But I think because the Congress does have a constitutional duty of oversight involving the administration of the government, that if she becomes president, they will not stop these investigations, and that they will result, because I'm quite confident that she is lying. And well, she has lied a lot, and she lies often.
Well, Dave,
I want to make that prediction right now.
Well, David, you're commenting on that, and your opinion of what you're saying, I think, is more valid coming from your perspective as a constitutional attorney. What you are saying is not a superfluous statement by a casual observer. You know what you're talking about, and you know that the testimony that she's offered before Congress in these two areas and all that kind of thing falls to that kind of a, unavoidable perspective that Congress almost has to deal with it. But let me ask you this. I don't disagree with what you are saying. I do think that the preponderance of evidence and what is there should and would perhaps move forward those committees under the next Congress in order to pursue this. However, I think it's a question a lot of people have. Barack Obama himself have done a number of things about going around Congress and doing things that are very violative of his abilities through his executive orders, all that kind of thing. And yet Congress has not done anything, even though they are in Republican control. So why do you think they would choose to do something and move in an impeachment proceeding, whatever, against Hillary when they have refused to really do so against Barack Obama?
The nature of the offense, and I do believe that Barack Obama has violated the Constitution as well. I don't think that he can run the government with a telephone and a pen. The nature of the offense is substantially different. The other thing is her lying. The only time this lady I know for sure is telling the truth, or the only time I know for sure when she's not lying is when she's sleeping. That's the only time I think we know for sure that everything is okay.
Then her dreams are probably lies, David.
But, you know, you have to understand, if anybody, her lying is different than a lot of other people's, because when she lies boldly. She was in Bosnia. She gets off in a helicopter. She claims she's coming under fire, which was all a lie. But here's the difference about her lying in that situation that tells you a lot about her character. She knew there were dozens of people around her that could completely contradict everything that she said. Mm. And yet she said it anyway.
Good point.
Which is a which leads me to a question, and I don't want to interrupt you, and I'd encourage
you
to think, keep your thought there. But you know, David, people love Hillary. People literally love Hillary Clinton across this nation, the Democrats, men and women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why is it, and maybe I should ask it this way, what does it show about our nation when you have a person such as Hillary Clinton who has been living a lie for 30 years and everybody knows it? What does it say about our nation when so many people are standing with her and want her to be in the White House, in the Oval Office, in the most powerful position in the world?
It's a very, very bad commentary on the moral character of America. Hmm. We are in a moral freefall right now. What's happened, the America of the 1970s and 1980s and the America today are nowhere near the same. And of course, even further you go back, the more difference. But as late as the 1980s, America was in a certain moral track that was good, basically, and healthy, basically, in many areas. But the erosion has been toxic, and it has been massive, and it has been overwhelming. And it's not clear. I think the only thing that can restore this country, we may have already gone beyond the point of no return. I think the only thing that can restore America and to the greatness that she had is if we have a revival.
Yes.
If Hillary Clinton gets in the White House, gets in the White House, the Mexican border is going to open wide, and there are going to be so many immigrants coming into this country that will be new Democratic voters. There may never be another Republican president.
Well, not only that, but if she gets into the White House, all borders are going to be down, and we know what kind of a threat that that's going to bring to us from, you know, the Islamic terrorists. I mean, and we know, I believe, that she will not in any way, shape, or form, David, be friendly to the preaching of the gospel and the word of God.
No. If you want to have homosexuality to have a powerful presence in the public schools, like in California, there's Gay Pride Day in the California public schools. If you're going to put these kinds of behaviors, these unsavory things, and have a prominent place, you've got to get the influence of God out.
Absolutely. David New and Gary, thank you for being here so far today. And we're going to come back, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to continue this conversation. And we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about what difference does integrity make in the candidate. We're talking a lot about that today, the two president and vice presidential candidates, and now Hillary Clinton. But what value is, or importance is, integrity in this process? We're going to talk about that right after we come back.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
Remember, in this political season, it is God who changes the times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Daniel 2:21.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue, and if this cannot be inspired into our people in a great measure than they have it now, they may change their rulers and the forms of government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty. A quote from John Adams.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
I'm Jan Mark Hill, helping you understand the times.
The cross isn't the center then. The cross is almost a distraction and false advertising for God.
The Bible says that leadership in the church will continually grow more secular as the time gets closer to His return. Paul the Apostle writes, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Sound teaching can be defined as teaching that is Bible-based with the influences of tradition or culture. Today, church leaders aren't being trained to teach the Bible. They are trained to culturally be relevant with the Bible, which is a disaster in knowing the truth. It is time for a new reformation, one that gets us back to the Bible. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, Gary and Dave, we've been talking throughout this program, really, ultimately, when we're talking about comparing the measuring the men, as we said, the men, Mike Pence and Tim Kaine, as vice presidential candidates, we really ultimately ended up going to the matter of character and integrity. And Pastor Isaac Crockett was able to provide for us, I think, a very, very good insight in the second segment relative to the life, personal life, faith life of Mike Pence. And Dave, you referenced the fact that really what you see in Mike is someone who has had a very consistent and believable walk on moral issues, constitutional issues for a long time. He's not a late arriver at the game. Yep. And I think that's a very, very, very critical thing here as we talk about this. But I'd like to move now on this matter of integrity. You know, in 1682 here in Pennsylvania, William Penn laid out his frame of government. He made a number of wonderful statements in there that really became a framework for what government ought to be. But one of the things that I remember reading many, many years ago when I was in office that really stuck out to me was that he made a very clear point of saying that you could not ever obtain a republic, ultimately, which has become a holy experiment, as he said, a experiment in self-government under God, which is what he was talking about, that it could never happen unless both the citizens submitted themselves to the Ten Commandments of God, which is interesting, Mike. I mean, Dave, you talked about Mike with the Ten Commandments in Indiana, and also about those in office who would be elected to office also would be people of integrity and character. Without it, he said, you couldn't obtain a republic, and you certainly could not maintain it. The definition for integrity comes from the Latin word that we get the word integer from, which means whole. So literally, an application to government or a person, it really means something or an entity or a person that is morally complete. Now, Dave, let me go to you first in that regard and say, from your perspective, give a practical aspect of here, is why is moral integrity so critical for any person involved in any level of government, be it in the making of the law, the legislative, the interpreting of the law, the judicial, or the enforcement of the law in the executive? Where's the nexus between character and integrity and someone in those positions in government?
They are absolutely linked. You have to have integrity for this kind of government that we have to work. One of my favorite quotes by a court was made in 1950. The name of the case is State versus City of Tampa. This quote is so loved by me, I have included it in my soon-to-be-published book, The Separation of Church and State for Beginners. This is a quote that I believe is unbelievable. 1950, the Florida Supreme Court said, different species of democracy have existed for more than 2,000 years, but democracy as we know it has never existed among the unchurched. A people unschooled about the sovereignty of God, the Ten Commandments, and the ethics of Jesus could never have evolved the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution. There is not one solitary fundamental principle of our democratic policy that did not stem directly from the basic moral concepts as embodied in the Decalogue and the ethics of Jesus. No one knew this better than the Founding Fathers. That, ladies and gentlemen, says it all.
Dave, I want to follow up before I go to Gary, because I'm going to ask Gary a question in just a little bit from a pastoral perspective to give us some examples and the real biblical component part of what integrity is biblically and how that would tie together. I want to go there next, Gary, and have you close out the program answering that question. But Dave, back to you in this regard. That what you said brings up the question. Not possible for the law that we have, the Constitution that we have, the Declaration of Independence that we have, the Mayflower Compact, the three organic documents of law, not possible to have those fundamental elements of liberty and freedom without having a clear moral understanding of truth. Now, You answer this question here just another minute or so, Dave. There are many folks who say, well, you know what, don't legislate morality, you know, in the courts, you don't get involved in morality. And how many times are we trying to pick appointments to the bench based on them not having any identified faith relationship, because it's going to deter or somewhere harm their judgment? Dave, every person has a moral view, right? So if a person doesn't have God's moral view, what moral view are they going to bring?
Well, they're either going to acknowledge the God of heaven or they're going to make man God. And people who think that you should legislate without morality have really missed the mark. It is impossible not to legislate without morality. Every law on the books, from crime to theft to marriage to even environmental laws, they all have a moral foundation. Even a clean environment is a moral good. You cannot escape. This is a moral universe.
Every good law is a moral law, David. Every good law is legislating morality, is it not?
Amen.
So right, it's, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a question of if there is a core of morality within laws, public policy, statements that the candidates make. It's a matter of which set of moral values. And it's either going to be God's set of moral values, which is what underpinned our country, or it's going to be some government-centered or Islamic-centered or Sharia-centered, in any case, man-centered, but it's going to be competing and they don't coincide. Gary, let me go to you. You're a pastor. You've taught many young people and adults. Give us some insights of perhaps how you have shared the understanding of what integrity is. Bring that to light in a graphic way if you can.
Well, Sam, let me say that integrity and character are twins. You know, they're two peas in the pod. And, you know, back during the days of Bill Clinton, the question came up, does character count? Well, obviously, character counts. And, you know, one of the reasons why Bill got himself in trouble as he did is because he was a man of low biblical, low moral character. And Hillary falls in that same light, in that same trend. Our nation was founded upon absolute truth and biblical morality. A person who is not living absolute truth according to biblical truth and biblical morality can in no way, shape, or form lead this nation in the way that God would have it to be led, or in the way that our founding fathers would have it to be led. It's absolutely important that we've got men and women leading this nation who have biblical moral character, and as I see it, Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine do not qualify in that particular position.
Well, Gary and Dave, thank you for great input today. Ladies and gentlemen, I really hope that this program today has helped to shed some light on the value of considering the vice presidential candidate and having a better understanding of both candidates, Tim Kaine and Mike Pence, and the necessary value of having integrity and measuring the candidates through that filter. Well, we're glad you've been with us, and we hope that you'll be back with us tomorrow, 23 hours from now on Stand in the Gap Today. Again, go to standinthegapradio.com to pick up this program and others that we've shared in the past weeks. Stand in the gap for us with truth where you are, ladies and gentlemen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180, AM 1180, WFYL.